When the time came to plant, a Chinese farmer would have hundreds of different varieties to choose from, each of which offered a slightly different trade-off between yield and, say, how quickly it grew, or how well it did in times of drought, or how it fared in poor soils. A farmer might plant a dozen or more different varieties at one time, adjusting the mix from season to season in order to manage the risk of a crop failure. He or she, or more accurately, the whole family, since rice agriculture was a family affair, would plant the seed in a specially prepared seedbed. After a few weeks, the seedlings would be transplanted into the field in carefully spaced rows 6 inches apart and then painstakingly nurtured. Weeding was done by hand, diligently and unceasingly, because the seedlings could easily be choked by other plant life. Sometimes each rice shoot would be individually groomed with a bamboo comb to clear away insects. All the while, farmers had to check and recheck water levels and make sure the water didn't get too hot in the summer sun. And when the rice ripened, farmers gathered all of their friends and relatives and in one coordinated burst harvested it as quickly as possible so they could get the second crop in and harvest it before the winter dry season began. Breakfast in South China, at least for those who could afford it, is congee, white rice porridge with lettuce and dace paste and bamboo shoots. Lunch is more congee. Dinner is rice with toppings. Rice was what you sold at the market to buy the other necessities of life. It was how wealth and status were measured. It dictated almost every working moment of every day. Rice is life, says the anthropologist Gonzalo Santos, who has studied a traditional South Chinese village. Without rice, you don't survive. If you want to be anyone in this part of China, you would have had to have rice. It made the world go round. Take the following list of numbers. 4853976. Spend 20 seconds memorizing that sequence before saying them out loud again. If you speak English, you have about a 50% chance of remembering that sequence perfectly. If you're Chinese, though, you're almost certain to get it right every time. Why is that? Because, as human beings, we store digits in a memory loop that runs for about 2 seconds. We most easily memorize whatever we can say or read within that 2-second span. And Chinese speakers get that list of numbers, 4853976, right every time because, unlike English speakers, their language allows them to fit all those 7 numbers into 2 seconds. That example comes from Stanislas Dehaene's book, The Number Sense, and as Dehaene explains, Chinese number words are remarkably brief. Most of them can be uttered in less than 1/4 of a second. For instance, 4 is si and 7, qi. Their English equivalents, 4, 7, are longer. Pronouncing them takes about 1/3 of a second. The memory gap between English and Chinese apparently is entirely due to this difference in length. In languages as diverse as Welsh, Arabic, Chinese, English, and Hebrew, there is a reproducible correlation between the time required to pronounce numbers in a given language and the memory span of its speakers. In this domain, the prize for efficacy goes to the Cantonese dialect of Chinese, whose brevity grants residents of Hong Kong a rocketing memory span of about 10 digits. It turns out that there is also a big difference in how number naming systems in Western and Asian languages are constructed. In English, we say 14, 16, 17, 18, and 19,